Welcome to the Get Cyber Smart podcast, your 7 to 10 minute look into this crazy thing we call cyber. I am your host, retired FBI Supervisory Special Agent Darren Ma, and in this episode, we are going to explain what business email compromise is, why you should know about it, why you should care about it, and how do you protect yourself from it. So the impetus for this week's podcast is an article I saw in ZDNet.com on Friday. It's by Danny Palmer, senior writer, and the title is "The Biggest Cybercrime Threat is Almost the One That No One Wants to Talk About." And it's a great article because it's something I've been saying for a long time. And basically, reading from the article somewhat, and this guy says some of the same things I always say, but he says, the most lucrative form of cybercrime might not be the one you first expect. While ransomware gets global attention when it takes down vital services and cybercriminals get away with multi-million dollar ransom payments, there's one big cybersecurity issue that's costing the world more money, but remains an embarrassing secret for many, even though, according to the FBI, it cost victims over $43 billion to date. And this is, of course, business email compromise. They lack the drama of hacking attacks, but it's possible to argue they become the biggest cybersecurity issue facing the world today, and I would argue that it likely is from a financial loss perspective. Now, I'm going to argue slightly against this, that the biggest hacking issue is nation-state activity trying to steal intellectual property, geopolitical secrets, and things like that. But from a criminal financial perspective, certainly business email compromise is the granddaddy of them all. Still reading from the article, this says, quote, business email compromise is the number one cybercrime, period. There's no sugarcoating it. It's an international global problem with victims in over 90% of countries in the world. That's the scale we're looking at, says Ronnie Tazakowski, principal threat advisor at cybersecurity company Covets. So you can go find this article, again, at ZDNet.com. Look for Danny Palmer. It's called The Biggest Cybercrime Threat is Almost the One No One Wants to Talk About. But what exactly is email compromise? Well, it happens in a variety of different ways. Essentially, it is The original scam itself started when someone got access to an email account belonging to someone, let's say in a company, let's say the CEO, CFO, or someone, and then would send a fictitious email to like the accounting department and say, hey, I need you to pay this invoice for $200,000 and wire transfer it here. And so this particular scam has then evolved over time. It's got a variety of different tentacles. One of the biggest areas it's big in is, sorry, I used the word big there twice, is real estate market. So you'll get individuals that are buying a house. And of course, now with the housing market being so hot, people are buying lots of houses, selling lots of houses. And so there's escrow and all those other things you have to do in the process of buying a house. So normally what happens now is you get an email from your title company or from your closing attorney or from your realtor that says, here is the wire transfer information for your closing statement. You owe X amount of money at closing for down payment or what have you. Wire transfer it to this account that'll put it in escrow for the closing time for the closing attorney. In most cases, it's legitimate. You wire transfer the money, you show up for the closing, your money's been transferred, you're good to go. What bad guys figured out, if they can get in the middle of that process by faking an email from the title company or from the closing attorney or from your realtor, they can get you to wire transfer money somewhere else. And that is how it happens in the real estate market, which is why if you're selling a house and this is how they are doing closing, you need to call the title company and verify that information. Don't just assume the email that's asking you to wire transfer money is real. Always assume it is not real. This is where zero trust in this kind of thing can be very helpful for you. In the business world, it happens with companies that, again, appear like the CFO sends an email to accounting and says, we need to pay this invoice. It's a copy of a fake invoice. People pay it. I got a call once from a company that had emailed three wire transfers before they figured out that it was fraudulent to the tune of $1.3 million. It's a huge financial boon to cyber criminals, and people are falling for it all the time because the emails look legitimate and they don't have secondary processes in place to verify it is not real. Another way that it can happen is you get an invoice from a vendor you know you usually use. So let's say you buy widget A once a month from company B, and it is always $100,000 to buy this part for the widget. So you get your normal invoice and it's got different wiring information on it. How do they do that? Well, maybe they're in the email system of the company you do business with. So they're not in your email. So there's no compromise in your email system. There's a compromise on another person's email, or another company's email system, sending fictitious emails to you. Or it may not even be, they're deep into that company's email system, but they know that you do business with them and they know what the invoices look like. There's a lot of intelligence that's being gained online just doing open source intelligence for companies, figuring out how their email systems work, looking on the dark web for compromised credentials. And that's how a lot of these guys are getting in to these companies, is through these stolen credentials. And so with that, obviously, they can create fictitious email, fraudulent email, and people fall for it and send the wire transfer out before they realize it's bad things. So how do you protect yourself from it? Well, the first thing, from a business perspective, if you're a business owner, have a process in place that there's always secondary verification from someone in your company indicating that this particular wire transfer request is real and legitimate, that it's something that they're supposed to do. Don't just rely on the email itself. If from a personal perspective, how do you not become a victim? Well, if you're selling a house or you're buying a house or what have you, make sure that when you get that wire transfer information that you are contacting your title company, your closing attorney, to verify that the wire information you are sending is real. So how do you do it? Otherwise, how do you protect your old email from being compromised? Well, the key thing there, two things: have complicated passwords, 13 characters or more, use a password manager to store those complex passwords, and turn on multi-factor authentication. Do those things, and you know, it's very hard for a bad guy to get access to your email account. A lot of the business email compromise that occur is because some company did not have multi-factor authentication on. There were legitimate login credentials identified online through the dark web, through other data breaches. Bad guys got in, got access to the email, saw who they're doing business with, and there's a whole other aspect to doing false domains and setting up separate servers and forwarding rules and things like that, that is beyond the scope of what we're going to talk about here for this, you know, 7 to 10 minute look at what business email compromise. But if you want more information, if you just Google business email compromise, there's plenty of news articles, plenty of information on what that looks like, how to protect yourself and things like that. So that's kind of what I wanted to talk about today. What is business email compromise? Simply because this article came out and I thought it was really good points that the guy makes, and I'll read you one more email or one more part of the article that really kind of rings this home. And business email compromise attacks are built on using social engineering to trick victims into transferring a payment to cyber criminals. Often scammers will pose as a colleague, a client, your boss, or business partner to make their request seem legitimate. And that's really it. So that's it. I mean, there's two ways. They send an email from a spoofed account pretending to be someone you know to request an offer, or they steal usernames, passwords, get into legitimate accounts, and create requests for funds. So with that, understanding what business email compromise is, you can now make sure that you do not become a victim. It is the number one financial loss crime year in and year out, as the FBI tracks cybercrime through their, every year they do an IC3 annual cybercrime report. Business email compromise is always number one. It's about 26 times the loss of ransomware, meaning if you take a look at all the money lost in reported ransomware attacks, the amount of loss in reported business email compromise is about 26 times more. So you don't hear a lot about it, but it's effective. People are making lots of money off of it. Don't become a victim from that. With that, I thank you very much for taking the time to tune in and listen to this week's edition of the Get Cyber Smart podcast. If you're looking for more detailed and longer interviews with cybersecurity experts, check out my other podcast, the Cyber Guy podcast. This week, I'm talking to Kurt Vinson, who's got a very storied career in cyber, and he's got a great story to tell. With that, understand the threats that are targeting you, assess your risk, proceed wisely online. Have a good week. Remember, if you get a little cyber smarter, you get a whole lot cyber safer.